理课堂听 class.com
Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Welcome to Advanced, your window on the world. Today, we're going to talk about sports and fans, so stay tuned. I'm glad that you're all good sports and have come here today. I hope everybody can be a good sport every day in their life. We'll find out what that idiom or that phrase means in our class today. We have several interesting people as our panelists. We have our regular youth panelist, Ethan. Ethan, are you interested in sports?
Oh, I am, Doris. As a volleyball player myself, I found this a very interesting topic to talk about because it sort of involves me.
And Bill, as a businessman, as our panelist for business, what about business and sports? Is there any connection?
Well, certainly. There's always a connection there, business and sports, when we're talking about money, Doris. So it's a very interesting topic today.
But sports and money shouldn't be connected, but seems like they are some ways. And we're very happy to have one of our other panelists with as part of our studio classroom staff and also on many of the skits on Let's Talk in English and on the other TV shows. How are you today, Billy?
I'm great, Doris. I'm glad to be here.
Billy, you like sports quite a bit, don't you?
I love sports. I check the scores every day, and I'm really interested in this subject.
Well, do you think that sports in some ways has gotten out of hand, a little bit hard to control these days?
I think in certain situations, but we can't just say because of one situation the entire sports world has gotten out of hand, but there are certainly things we need to look at and reevaluate.
Well, the subject we're going to talk about today on page 40 of our magazine is athletes versus fans. Now, how could they be athletes versus fans? I thought it was team against team.
Well, it usually is, but a lot of the fans are on one side or the other, and the fans start screaming at the athletes, and we've even found in recent cases throwing things at the athletes, and the athletes take that personally.
Would you say, Billy, that actually people have gotten almost too taken up with sports? I think sometimes, you know, it's a big part of people's lives, and it means so much to them. Maybe that's why they care so much.
It's a big passion. I had an uncle who loved this one team, and he had things representing the team, paraphernalia, all over his house. His whole house was red because the team's color was red. So people have a great passion for sports and for their team.
Well, my uncle was a well-known sports editor and a sports writer and journalist, and he used to let us go to the games free. It was kind of fun to do that and sit up in the press box and everything. But I started to think that, you know, people get so taken up with sports that they rather do that than almost anything. And maybe that's why they get so violent about it. They care so much about it. Do you think, Ethan?
Well, I think it is very true that it's easy to get caught up in it. Sports is a very emotional game. It takes a lot of energy, and you have to sink a lot of your emotion into it. And when that happens, it's very easy to slip into becoming violent or angry.
It's a very physical thing because you put a lot of your physical strength in it. And by using that physical strength, then probably it stirs up ways where you can be angry easily. And we're going to talk about that in our lesson today, about sportsmanship. Now, what is the reason that we're doing this article? There's something that shows a picture here. That's why we decided to do this article.
Well, back in November, Doris, there was an ugly incident in Detroit, a basketball game in the NBA between the Detroit Pistons and Indiana Pacers turned really ugly when a fan threw a beer on one of the players, and it turned into a brawl between players and fans up in the stands.
So this type of thing happens a lot, but this one was caught on television. People around the world saw it. Would you like to read what it says right there about that?
It says, in November, the world witnessed one of the most disturbing displays of unsportsmanlike conduct in the recent history of American sports, a National Basketball Association game between the Detroit Pistons and Indiana Pacers ended in a basket brawl between players and fans. Indiana Pacers players went into the stands and fought with fans after Pacer player Ron Artest was hit with an object thrown from the stands.
That looks like a whole article right there itself. But what is a basket brawl. I think that's a play on words, isn't it?
That's right. It's just a brawl that happened at a basketball game. And
brawl,
so we call it a
fight.
Basket brawl. Right, a brawl.
Okay. Fight happened at a basketball game.
Normally, we might see a fight, you expect it maybe at a NHL hockey game, but a fight like this at a basketball game was really rather shocking.
And so we're going to find out then about sportsmanship, because that doesn't seem like those people were very good sports. And when you say to somebody, be a good sport, you mean play fair, don't you?
We also mean learn how to win. Everybody loves to win, but also you have to learn how to lose, Doris, too. A lot of times as children, when we lose a game, we might throw a temper tantrum. Hopefully, as we grow older, we learn how to lose and accept that.
Control our anger.
I think about the sports games I've played with and the different teams I've come in contact with, and sometimes when a team loses and they storm off, it doesn't leave you feeling very good. But when a team is very respectful of you, they shake your hand and they say, well, you played really well tonight, it's encouraging to you, and it also gives them some dignity when they leave the court.
I think it starts with when we're young and we don't get what we want. It depends on how our parents have raised us and treated us and how we've reacted to that situation. And then when you lose a game, you also don't get what you want. And how are you going to control yourself in that situation?
You're going to have to remember that, Billy, with your new little baby girl, right?
I train
him that way right off from the beginning, okay?
I have to be careful because I want to give her everything, but I know that's not the best thing for her.
Right. Well, being a good sport is also being able to lose. And it's a real show of greatness to be a good loser. Almost anybody can be a good winner, but a lot of people cannot be good losers. So that's what we're going to talk about, is sportsmanship dead. And we're going to look at page 40 now, and you can read along with us as we read the first column.
Is sportsmanship dead? Random violence has been erupting in Western sports for as long as fans and athletes have been sharing space in arenas and stadiums. So, why are some people acting like athletes versus fans is something new and abnormal? One reason is the advent of 24-hour news via cable television and the internet. The video of Ron Artest and two of his Pacers teammates fighting with Pistons fans rolled in a seemingly endless loop for days after it happened. In the olden days, when athletes and fans played just as rough as they do now, TV cameras weren't there to record it. That stuff becomes fodder for entertainment. People are getting big ratings by replaying it, says Martin Kaplan of USC's Annenberg School for Communication.
Well, random violence just means violence here and there. It's not planned. It's something that just happens. It comes up. And it has been coming up. It's been erupting in Western sports. I think of a volcano, like a mountain, as erupting. All of a sudden, boom, there it is.
Well, you go to a sporting event. You want to watch the game and enjoy it and have fun. When some of these violent things occur, it's kind of a shocking, surprising thing. As you say, like an eruption of a volcano, you certainly don't expect it.
Well, and these kind of things have been happening as long as they've had these big sports fields or arenas or stadiums where people compete. Because when you compete, you're trying to win. So it's only natural that you're going to be really upset if you don't win.
That's true, but I think it's happening more and more recently. And I think part of it is kind of sports is becoming a picture of our society, where society is getting more and more out of hand, wars and violence and anger. You're seeing that same society brought into the stadiums and into the sports world.
Well, there's no doubt about that. And we're going to find out some of the causes of these things, too. So it says, why are some people acting like it's not just team against team, but it's the players, the athletes, against the fans who come to watch them? It's like the battle is not on the field, but it's between those in the audience. Is that something new, and is it something abnormal?
Well, I think it is something that is developing more and more. It states right back to the beginning of professional sports, at least in North America, I know, that even in the early days there was violence between players and fans. But I think we are seeing more of it, and it's mostly, I think, because people are getting unhappy with the extreme salaries that players are being paid.
Well, I don't think they need to get as much money as they're getting either. But also this advent or the new thing that started when they had 24-hour news, table television, and the internet, people could see things more. Before, they would read about them in the paper, and it was kind of a little distance away. But when you see it happening, it affects you differently.
Well, that's right. We have the Detroit and Indiana game. A fight broke out there. And then the next night at a college football game, a fight broke out between the two teams. And a lot of people said that possibly that was because all the players had seen the fight the night before, and it was easier for them to just go into the fight and let that anger reign.
Okay, so the video of this fellow, Ron Artest, and two of his Pacer teammates fighting with the Piston fans, those are the team's names, they seemed to go on and on to an endless loop for days after it happened. People kept playing it over and over. Instead of saying, we shouldn't show this, they kept showing it.
Many of my friends in the United States were telling me that every time they turned on the television, they were seeing a replay of this fight. And as we read further on down in the article, part of that reason is this is good TV for the company, the broadcasting companies. They get good ratings from showing some crazy stuff like this.
And there you go. That's the other thing. It's the people watching it. It's their fault as well. They're giving the good ratings, right? They're watching it over and over again. So it's something we want to see as well.
You notice whenever there's bad news, whether it's a fire or a plane crash or people crying because somebody was killed, they show that over and over. They very seldom show anything that's sort of nice on TV, but I guess it's not as exciting. You know, who wants to show something that people are doing that's good? Because it's kind of boring to people. They want to see something that's violent, it seems like.
There's no shock value.
That's true, right. So anyway, that's some of the problems. And in the old days, or it says olden days here, when they just played like they do now, remember, the TV cameras weren't there to record it. And I think that makes a big difference.
Well, it certainly would. I think people would not be as exposed to it. Maybe if you were at the game, you would know about the event, but it would be a lot more difficult for people to really keep seeing the event over and over on TV or hearing about it on the radio. And so it wouldn't be as widely known.
And it would be hard for people to grasp the degree of what happened. If you said in the paper, a fight broke out, you might say, okay, maybe it was just a little fight. But if you can see it over and over on TV, you realize the degree of what has happened.
That's true. And it says here that this kind of stuff becomes what we call fodder for entertainment. People like to be entertained with this. It's like feeding them with something. What is fodder, actually?
Well, fodder is actually, in its original meaning, is feed for animals. We talk about fodder is what horses eat. But in this sense, it's feeding the entertainment industry, and it's providing inferior or readily available material used to supply a demand.
So it can be junk or trash that you just throw on the fire to burn because you don't want it anymore. So in a sense, it's a lot of trash or a lot of junky things that happen, and we don't need to keep thinking of them, but people keep bringing them up, bringing them to our attention. The more we see them, the angrier we get.
And you wonder why people want to eat trash, but they keep eating it.
That's right. Well, we have a special little feature today. We're going to have features from time to time because some of you have requested them. What's the main point of this little feature that we have today?
Well, we hope to let the readers know a little bit more about certain sports conflicts over history. It isn't just a one-time event in this last year, but it's also a historical thing. And so we want to let listeners know about that and also just some more listening practice for them.
So our listening practice, today's feature.
Fans and athletes gone crazy.
What's got into these people?
It's time for Studio Classroom Sports Update. Welcome again, everyone. I'm Rocky Rhodes, your host for Studio Classroom Sports Update. Has the world flipped its lid, or have sports fans just gone crazy? Joining me in the studio today is my co-host, Gymnasium.
Rocky, I gotta tell you, things are getting out of hand out there in the sports world. Fans and athletes are getting more and more involved in some crazy incidents in sports today.
Jim, I understand you've got a story from the world of tennis.
That's right. From center court, we've got lunatic Gunther Pache, who stabbed Monica Seles in the back. Pache reminded us that fan is short for fanatic when he attacked Seles to keep his beloved Steffi Graf atop the world tennis rankings. What was he thinking?
I don't know what he was thinking, but he certainly has no corner on insanity. In last year's Athens Olympic, a defrocked Irish priest attacked a marathon runner near the end of the race. Fortunately, the marathon runner recovered and finished third to claim the bronze medal.
That was ugly, but there was also an awful lot of ugly to go around at the Palace of Auburn Hills. The Pistons' performance in the game was by no means pretty. The cheap shot by Ron Artest was unsightly. The overreaction by Ben Wallace was homely. And when one fan threw a cup of beer, it got coyote ugly in a hurry.
Talk about an overreaction. 10 years ago, in football-crazed Colombia, their soccer team lost 2-1 to the United States after Andres Escobar accidentally kicked the ball into his own net. What was waiting for Escobar when he got home? 12 bullets being pumped into his body.
Going to American football now, the Oakland Raiders were pelted with snowballs, some spiked with batteries at Denver's Mile High Stadium. Not a snowball fight I'd want to be a part of.
Talk about a fight. There's an old saying, I went to a fight and a hockey game broke out. Back in 1979, a game between the Boston Bruins and the New York Rangers at the Madison Square Garden in New York got real ugly as players went into the stands and fought with fans, swinging sticks at fans. One player, Mike Milbury, even removed the shoe from a fan and beat him over the head with his own shoe.
Rocky, that stinks.
I agree. I'll tell you what stinks. We're out of time here on Studio Classroom Sports Update. Join us next time for more stories from the wild and wacky world of sports.
And if you can understand all of that, you're doing all right. You can pass any test in the world, right? You know, that's the thing with sports and sportcasters. They talk like that. They speak quickly. They use strange words. So if you can't understand it, don't turn off your radio. Okay? Keep listening.
And there's a reason they're doing that, to try to excite you and get you as angry and passionate about it as they want you to be, so you'll keep watching.
That's true. Well, let's go on to the second column of the lesson now. The bigger issue. We know that sportsmanship is having its problems. May not be dead, but it's certainly injured right now. Let's find out the bigger issue.
The bigger issue. We zero in on the hostilities that occur inside sports venues and view them as isolated actions, instead of realizing that these outbreaks are representative of a larger, deeper problem in society. Anger. It's on display everywhere, from road rage on streets to mudslinging in elections. But here's some good news. Sportsmanship isn't dead. After Game 4 of the World Series in October, the St. Louis Cardinals opened the stadium gates to allow Boston Red Sox fans to enter and enjoy their team's first World Series championship since 1918. Cardinals fans politely cheered in sincere acknowledgement of the magnitude of this special moment. As for what we can expect in the future, it comes down to this. If we want to fix the decline of sportsmanship in Western sports, we first must find a way to cool the boiling anger in our society.
Well, when we zero in on something, it's just like a plane going in to hit the target when they're bombing or something. There'll be a little zero thing on the ground and their target thing, and they have to hit it. That means we're going to get right on target and find out about these hostilities. Now, what are hostilities?
Well, hostilities are angry outbursts or where there is violence involved.
Okay, and they happen or they occur inside of places where sports are performed, sports venues. What are some of the venues or places where we have sports?
Well, there'll be basketball arenas, like we've talked about with a basketball game, and also football stadiums, whether they be soccer stadiums in Europe or South America or American football stadiums in the United States.
So stadiums, mm-hmm. arenas, football, basketball courts, these are some of the places, right? That's what we call the venues or the places where they take place. And some people look at them as saying, well, it doesn't happen very often. This is a put apart, an isolated action. But they have to realize that they're not just this, because they represent something bigger, a deeper problem. And what is that problem?
That problem is anger, and it's displayed everywhere from road rage on streets to mudslinging in elections.
Okay, anger. That should be a big capital word in red, I think, because anger is a very, very powerful force.
It is. It affects all of us. We experience it sometimes with our parents. Sometimes our parents experience it with children. And as we see in the article, it happens on road rage in the streets and mudslinging in elections.
So that's one thing you have to start to learn from the time you're young, is that you not only control your anger, but you have to think about why you become angry and not just control it. But you have to think about it's better to do to other people like you'd like them to do to you. So if somebody wins, you think, well, that's nice that they could win instead of me. It's hard to think that way, but we have to learn to think about others. And this is what they call the golden rule, even in the Bible, to do unto others as you would like them to do unto you. That's the law, is that you really should treat other people like you'd like to be treated. Then would we have all these problems?
No, we wouldn't. But the problem is, people think when they get angry that they can get something, gain something for themselves. But actually, they're just hurting themselves when they get angry.
And anger is a very, very powerful emotion. It is one of the most powerful emotions that we can experience ourselves. And it really drives people to do things that they wouldn't normally do.
That's why there's so much child abuse, beating up or hitting of children. That's why there's a lot of murders. People get angry and they kill them, right?
There's very little control, and even now it just seems to be increasing and increasing, and that's coming through in these sporting events.
Right. And if you don't know what road rage is, I think they started to find that in Los Angeles when the freeways were crowded, and people wanted to pass somebody, and they wouldn't let them pass, and they'd take out their gun and shoot them. They call it road rage. They get so angry, and you know, they had a lot of problems with that. And people get so angry. Do you ever feel a bit angry when people pull out of the line and drive right in front of you and almost cause an accident?
I get angry, and I've honked my horn a little too much before because I'm upset with what people are doing. So it's understandable, as Ethan was saying, that anger can affect any of us. We can't say we're not affected by it.
And we're also affected when people say things against us. We call it mudslinging. Now, sometimes we see people throwing water or even food at each other or slinging mud. Now, you can actually take dirty earth and throw it at people, but mudslinging means more than just physically throwing something at you, doesn't it?
Yes, we use the term mudslinging to refer to throwing another person's problems or something they may have done in the past that wasn't very good back at them and to make their reputation look bad. We see this especially in elections sometimes. An opponent of a candidate will bring up something that's happened in the past to try and hurt the other candidate.
What's interesting to me, Doris, is I've seen, it seems like an increase in some of these political campaigns where there's lots of mudslinging, some bad comments about the opposition, and I'm trying to tie that in with these sporting events, and it just seems like there's almost a breakdown as far as being gracious and having sportsmanship, whether it's politics or sporting events in our society.
To be happy, sometimes it's hard to be happy because you wanted to win, but at least those people won. But this is what we call sportsmanship. We both tried very hard, and you happened to win this time, okay? Maybe I'll win next time. Doesn't mean you don't try. You still try. But this is what we call sportsmanship, and it says that it isn't really dead because after the World Series game in October, the St. Louis Cardinals, they allowed the Boston Red Sox fans to come in and enjoy the first World Series championship they had since 1918. They said, well, you guys made it. It's a big event, and, you know, we'll just won't be angry with you. Now, that's not easy to do.
Well, and normally fans would not be allowed down on the baseball diamond, especially opposing teams' fans down as the away team. They wouldn't be allowed down on the field. But this was such a big event that I think the Cardinals were very noble in opening up the gates and saying, we acknowledge that they won, they beat us fair and square, and we're going to honor that and let them celebrate.
Well, let me say this. I had not heard about this, though I love following sports. until we're talking about it in this article. So that just goes to show that sports news is not reporting this over and over and over, this gracious event, the way that they're reporting these basket brawls and other things.
Right. So that sometimes there is good sportsmanship. They don't always show it because it's not as interesting as showing the fights. But the magnitude or the greatness of the moment made everybody say, well, you won, so we're happy for you. Now, as for what we can expect in the future, what can we actually expect in the future?
Well, there's still going to be problems, Doris. One, because I don't think this violence in sports is going to go away until some serious issues are addressed. Particularly one thing I can think of is alcohol is a big problem in a lot of these sporting events, whether in the United States or in Europe. And a lot of fans simply use the sporting events as an outlet, a way for them to just release and lose control. And in a way, it's a distraction from their life. And so we need to address some of these issues.
So those are some of the things. And we have to find a way to cool down the boiling anger in our society. I think you were talking about that.
Well, it is a very, very important, and I think one of the best ways to do this is probably to instill in young people the ideas of how to control anger and where they should be expressing their anger and how to do that. If we don't do that, then they grow up, and in the future, we have big brawls like this.
One of the problems is that a lot of the people in sports, the athletes, come from broken homes, poor neighborhoods, homes where there are no fathers, and if the fathers aren't around or the family isn't together to teach the athletes, the young athletes, the right way to act, they really don't know. And we're dealing with athletes here who are 19, 20 years old. It's understandable in some ways they're out of control, and in a lot of ways the responsibility lies on us as a society.
Well, and also the fans, they have to realize that too. And it's not a big deal. So you lost this time, then there'll be another chance. Somebody always has to lose. And if you're not number one in school and you didn't get the first place, so what? Somebody has to get number two and number 10 or whatever. So let's be happy that other people could get it. And maybe you can try. You might get it next time. But your whole life does not depend on being first place or winning. It's not what happens to you, but how you take it that counts. Just remember that. It's the way we accept defeat. It's the way we can be good losers that shows the greatness. So we'll talk about that more tomorrow when we find out it's only a game after all. 100 years from now, nobody will know the difference, including you, okay? So we'll be back tomorrow to talk about this article more. Thank you for being with us today. Be sure and check the website, and we'll hope that every day in your life, you'll be able to learn to control anger and think about others as being more important than you. I think selfishness contributes to anger, too. So think about the root of these things, and then we'll get back to the sports tomorrow. Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye.